أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 65. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. On that day we will set a seal upon their mouths, and their hands shall speak to us, and their feet shall bear witness of what they earned. Okay, this is one of the events which happen on the Day of Judgment. A level of shahada, of witnessing. And there is the witnessing of different parts of the body, of what the people have been doing. There are two things here which are which was to be discussed. First, we seal on their mouths. اليوم نختم على أفواههم. It means we don't let them talk. And the second is, of course, witnessing, talking of different limbs and parts of the body. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. Their hands would speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ. And their feet would bear witness of what they have been doing, of what they earned. Now, why their mouths are sealed? Shouldn't they be given the permission to talk, to speak and defend themselves? Before, of course, their hands and their feet bear witness and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what they have been doing. We have in many different verses of the Quran that when wrongdoers start speaking on the Day of Judgment, they speak lies. They tell things that they are used to in this world, telling lies, denying what they have been doing. This is what they do during the course of this judgment, right from the beginning, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ in Surah Ma'idah we have one verse, when Allah speaks to them that, where are those whom you associated with me? They say, ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. They swear by Allah, their Lord, they believe that He is their Lord, they believe that He is sustaining them. Still, they mention His name and they swear by His name that they were not mushrikun, they were not making any associates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is of course a lie. Now, at one point, they are not let to speak. Their mouths are sealed, and the truth is being heard from different parts or different aspects of their existence, of their whole living. So this is where they are not being permitted to speak. Of course, in many other occasions, they are permitted to speak. They would be given the permission to talk. But, of course, they talk nonsense. They start to telling lies again, as they were telling lies in this world. So, they are stopped from that. And their different parts would speak against it. Now, as you would see in this verse, this is after the judgment is complete and people are sent either towards hell or towards paradise. And when these people are brought towards the brink of the hell, then the last chance is when their different parts would start speaking. If they speak for them, it's good, but they speak against them, of course. The speaking of different parts or different limbs of a person is when they are brought to the brink of the hell, and it's the last proof which brings them again to their mind that this is what you have been doing and what you are being given is just and according to the truth. Now, I will elaborate on this a little bit more because it's a very, very complicated issue, how this is going to happen. But let us first discuss the idea of speaking of different limbs, like foot and hand. Now, bearing witness, certainly is something which happens on the Day of Judgment at many different levels. However, how would an unliving object would bear witness on the Day of Judgment? Is it just a type of imagery which is used here? Not really they speaking, but they just since they have been in the position of sinning, for example, and that is exposed on the Day of Judgment, that would be a type of witnessing against the people who have committed it. Or they really speak in a way that the people understand how they speak, what they speak, what they say. It is a real speech, or it is just a metaphor used here for the situation in which everything is exposed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you look at the verse, it is very interesting because two words are used here. One is shahada and witness, the other is speech and talking. It says, Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahim, today we put a seal upon their mouth. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِهِمْ, and their hand would speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their feet would bear witness. So it's not just bearing witness, it's speaking as well. The hands would speak to us, and of course the feet would bear witness. Well, the vice versa is possible as well, that the feet would speak to us and the hand would bear witness. Probably the two words are mentioned here to say that it's not just bearing witness in a metaphorical sense, it's just speaking, it is telling something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that the person himself would understand as well. A language that person, it is in the person's own language, they understand that they are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how this is going to happen? What is the identity? I mean, this is a very, very difficult concept. What is the identity of a hand to speak on the Day of Judgment? Does our hand have an identity at all? I mean, for someone or something, now we are in a very diffused situation to call something or someone. Can we call a hand someone or something, or our feet someone or something? Because now we are talking about things which are rational, which can speak. I mean, something which can speak and say what they have inside, they should be rational, isn't it? Now, can we say that our hands are rational beings, or our feet are rational beings, or our skins are rational beings? This is a very difficult issue to explore, actually. Should we say every cell in our body are rational things and they have an identity and they can speak? Now, let's refer to other verses in the Quran. The earth, we are told that on the Day of Judgment the earth will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in Surah Zalzal, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زَلْزَالَهَا. Now, we are told that يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, on that day the earth will speak of its reports, of whatever has happened on it. Now, how does the earth speak? How does it speak? How can it speak? Does the earth have an identity out of which it can speak something? Now, we are told that بَأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَ, your Lord has whispered to it. Probably an identity, isn't it? How does Lord whisper to the earth? It whispers an identity to it, which becomes like a type of rational living being, and it can speak on its own accord about what has happened on it. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَحْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. So, this is about the earth. What about other things? Now, there is a similar verse in Surah Fussilat about different parts of body bearing witness and talking. It says, وَيَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. On the day, well, the enemies of Allah. You see, all these bearing witness of different parts is about the enemies of Allah, not about mu'minun. They are not going through this phase of witnessing. وَيَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. When the enemies of God are gathered towards the hell, فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ, and they are kept there. In fact, they don't enter hell one by one, group by group. Of course, at the end they would enter group by group, but they are brought to the brink of the hell and they are kept there until everyone comes. فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. Until everyone would come there. شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Their eyes and their ears and their skin would witness of what they have been doing. So, here we have feet and hands. Of course, there we have eyes and ears and skins. So, maybe you can say even other parts, the stomachs, for example, brains, or any other part of the body might speak of what they have. They gain a type of identity, a type of life which is different from the life in this world. We know that on the Day of Judgment, the enormity of life is going to increase, isn't it? Our cells now, they have a type of life, but this life is not like our own life. They have a type of soul, but this soul is not like the type of soul that we have in this world. But on the Day of Judgment, as our lives are going to increase in enormity, in understanding, in power, their lives are probably going to increase as well. So you have a type of body in which its different parts are rational being on their own accord, and still you are one person, much, much more enormous in life, because every cell, every part of your body is now a rational being. Is that possible? Is it the way it's going to happen? Now let's look at the verse. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, until when they all come to the brink of the hell. شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ, their ears, وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and their skins, they will all bear witness what they have been doing. Now, the interesting thing in this verse is that these parts do not only speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that Allah has actually the power to understand, and they have the humility to expose themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they speak to the person as well. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ, they would talk to their skin. Now suppose, for example, I am going to talk to my skin. It means I'm going to see my skin as a rational being, as something which can be addressed and can address me. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا, why did you witness against us? Because we're all going to be punished together. You are going to actually taste the punishment of fire, the skin, isn't it? The skin, which is the sense of touch, is going to endure the punishment of fire of hell. So وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا, why are you witnessing against us? In fact, still at that point, you can now see the psychology of people who are going to hell. Still at that point, they will try to conceal something in their souls from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they want to conceal it to the extent that if someone speaks about it, they object. Why are you speaking about these things? We are all together, we are all going to be punished together. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Now, Look at the response of his kin. قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah made us to speak, which has made everything to speak on this earth. أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Now this is the understanding of the skin. This is the understanding of the skin. Can you imagine? Skin would say, and he created you in the first place. Now, how would our skin know this? Unless it is a rational being which can understand things which are going on everywhere around them and can sense Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can sense the truth, isn't it? So, these verses would tell us that on the Day of Judgment, the whole idea of rationality, of being, of objects would change. And as we are not seeing them as rational beings here, we are going to see them as rational beings there. Everything, every cell you see on the Day of Judgment would speak on their own accord about the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they speak today. Now, let's correlate things to each other. We have in the Quran, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is nothing in the creation unless they glorify Him and they praise Him. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحًا. You do not understand their glorification. That's how they glorify their Lord. You do not understand this. It is hidden now to you. It is hidden actually to everyone, unless to very close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, of course, it is revealed. It is revealed to everyone. It's revealed even to those who are kuffar, even to those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is revealed to them. So we have a completely new type of world, new type of creation, in which every being is a rational being understanding the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaking for Him, only for Him. Nothing can actually, this is the meaning of Malik Yawm al-Din. He is the King on the Day of Judgment. Everyone confesses to His kingdom and to His glory and would speak of that glory and would speak the truth. This is the important thing. Everyone, everything would speak the truth on that day. Now you might say, how would some people lie? We'll come to this later on. How is it possible for some people to lie, of course. Now, it's not the case that they only speak or give shahada or witness. They are asked for it. They are responsible to give that shahada, to bear that witness. Now in Surah Isra, we have one verse, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٌ. Do not follow what you do not have knowledge about. Do not follow your conjectures. Well, actually in this world, whatever we follow, whatever opinion we have is usually based on conjecture. We deny the Day of Judgment out of a conjecture, isn't it? No one can really deny it out of knowledge. It's just out of a conjecture, because we don't see it, because it has not come yet, because it doesn't happen that way. Out of a conjecture. We deny the Creator out of a conjecture, isn't it? Because we think, well, where is He? If He is there, we should have seen it. So maybe the world has come about by itself. Maybe. We don't know. It's all theories. You see, usually we base whatever we know about God and about the creation on theories. And theories are conjectures, aren't they? Theories are not knowledge. Theories are conjecture. We have, of course, knowledge, experience of different things, how they work. But grand theories, which talk about the creation, which talk about the origin of the world, which talk about the soul, which talk about human beings, they're all based on conjectures. Now, Allah tells us, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Do not follow what you do not have knowledge about. Do not follow conjectures. If you do not have knowledge, then ponder. Then be cautious, of course. Then refer to someone who has knowledge, who claims that they have knowledge. It is very interesting that many, many hundreds, thousands of people claim that they have knowledge about God, that they are experiencing Him, that they are talking to Him, and He talks to them. And we leave all of them aside, usually, people. This is how human mentality works. We leave all of them aside. We say, maybe they're wrong, they're liars, they're superstitious, and all these things. And we just follow the conjectures of those people who do not believe. But they say, well, it is possible that the world has come about in this way. It is possible that the soul of human being is consisted of these things. So we always follow the possibilities and conjectures of those who do not have knowledge, and leave those people who claim that they have knowledge. And of course, those who do have knowledge, هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, are those who have knowledge equal to those who do not have knowledge? Those who claim that they have a knowledge about it, they are sure, they are certain about it, and still we just discard them out of our ignorance, of course. Now, the verse says in Surah Isra, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٌ, do not follow what you do not have knowledge about. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ. Now, we have another part of the human being which is going to be asked about all these things. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ, your ears, your eyes, and your hearts. كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا, all of them will be asked about it on the day of judgment. Now, then we have other witnesses as well. Now, here we have feet and hands. In Surah Fussilat, we had ears and eyes and skins. And in this Surah Isra, we have ears and eyes and hearts, maybe brains, maybe other parts. All of them, when it says, of course, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, Allah has made us to speak, which has made everything to speak now on this day. Well, everything, if everything speaks, then of course every part of our body, if we are of course driven to this, relegated to this status, are going to speak against us and to bear witness and speak in a way that we can understand, as there will be a dialogue between us and our skins. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا, why did you speak against us? And they say, of course, we did not speak voluntarily. We spoke because Allah had made everything to speak on this day. Even the earth, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, on that day the earth will speak of its reports, of the news, information that it is now building up until that day. And, of course, in Rawayat, not in the Quran of course, we have that the place you have prayed or in which you have sinned will bear witness on the day of judgment, will speak. The people to whom you have done good or bad, they will speak. And of course, well, whatever that could be imagined, the sun, well, that's a very good witness, witnessing everything, right from the beginning of the creation to the end, would probably speak of what it has seen happening on this earth or on other planets probably. So, what we can gather from all these things is that the whole idea of life and rationality, rational life, of course, life is very vast. On this earth, human beings have life, they are rational, animals have life, they are rational to a lower level, of course. Not completely rational as us, but they are still rational. That's why we see some rationality in their decisions. When they go to pray, hunting, looking after their children, it's not just instinct, it's some sort of rational behavior as well. The insects have some rational understanding. And then when we come to plants, to different cells of living things, they are, of course, they have life, but we cannot consider them as rational. We do not see any rationality in them as yet. One day we might see some sort of rational behavior from them. But on the day of judgment, all these things will become rational beings. Now, if these things which this low level of rationality or none at all that we see in this world, if they become rational, what about rational human beings? How will their understanding would turn to? How they would understand the whole creation and the whole being? Probably they go to a very, very high level of understanding and rationality. And what about the prophets then? And what about the angels then? The whole world. We know that angels are total rational beings. Because we are rational, but we have desires. Our rationality is somehow influenced and moderated by our desires. Angels, they are rational, they don't have desires. So you would see that their rationality is much higher than our rationality in many cases. That's why they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to Quran and the Rawat, whoever disobeys Allah is irrational, unrational. They have actually acted against their rational understanding. Well, of course, they don't know. Now, our rational understanding is on many occasions, overcome by our desires. Angels are not like this. If there are that rational beings at that level, what would be their situation on the day of judgment? And on that day in which every irrational being would become rational? Of course, on that day, وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلَ الْعَرْشِ, they have escalated up towards the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, of course, they would shift up as well. As we shift up, as we move up, they would move up as well. تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ, the ruh and the angels would move up towards him. In rationality, of course. In their understanding, in their being. فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسُونَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ, on a day, the duration of which is 50,000 years. They would move up as well. Okay, now, now that we are in this type of world, in a rational world, in which everything can understand and everything can speak, now we have come to a point where our different parts would speak against us. Kuffar, of course, otherwise this is not for mu'min, this is after they are ordered to go to hell, and they come to the brink of the hell. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, one of his attributes is that he's attar. He covers, he conceals, he doesn't let things to talk against people. He doesn't let the sins of the people to be revealed to others. So, if this is the point, it means that they have reached a point that their sins cannot be concealed at all. Or it shouldn't be concealed. Of course, the people of Jannah do sins as well. They have sins, and not in Jannah, of course. In this world, they have committed sins. And when they go there, of course, there are witnesses. The earth has witnessed. The sky has witnessed. Their bodies have witnessed. But are they going to speak against them? No. Although they can speak, and although they are rational, but Allah will put a seal not to speak about it, not to reveal it, because he is Sattar. This is his name which is working. If you look around yourself, you will see that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in work everywhere, in actually manifestation. Now, he would conceal them, but for these people, why? Why they should be exposed in such a way? This is the most humiliating exposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, all of us will be exposed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not all of us would be humiliated in this way. That even our skins, our hands, our ears, our eyes, our hearts would speak against us. This is a very, very humiliating situation, if you can imagine. That you are trying to conceal something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are trying to say, I did not do it. I was not doing it. And then everything is going to speak against you. This is very, very humiliating, actually. Why they come to this position, to this humiliating situation? Now, to find out about this, we have to somehow analyze this whole concept of shahada and bearing witness and speaking of someone or some deed on the day of judgment. Now, if Allah is a witness, and He is of course sufficient as a witness, if He is the witness and He knows things, why should other things come in between and the witness? We have in the Quran in many places, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah is sufficient as a witness. You don't need any other witness. He knows everything. You are completely exposed to Him. And if you are exposed to Him, so why other things should speak? Now, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself with their witness, which is of course a sufficient witness. Then you have the prophets with their witness. We have the angels who capture our actions with their witness. Our own selves. Now, this is interesting. As I said earlier, everything would speak the truth, but still we tell lies. How this is possible? We have two aspects in our soul. One aspect which is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as every other thing, like a cell. Our soul, like a cell, is in His hand, isn't it? So, in that aspect, our soul cannot tell lies. As a cell, as a part of body would speak the truth, our soul would speak the truth as well. But we have another aspect of our soul, which is that vicious aspect. That aspect which we have created for ourselves. We have distance from that truthful aspect of the soul. And that aspect would always want to conceal, to tell lies. And this is why you hear on the Day of Judgment people, you are told, they bear witness against themselves. And they lie against themselves. This is very interesting. In Surah An'am, in two different places, look at two different sets of verses. In verse number 21 to 24, says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And who is more unjust than he who forgets, who forges a lie against Allah, or he who gives the lie to his communications? Surely the unjust will not be successful. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Sorry, from verse 22, that verse was not very much related to this. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمْ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. Then, and on the day when we shall gather them all together, then shall we say to those who associated others with Allah, where are your associates whom you asserted? ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. Then their excuse would be nothing but that they would say, by Allah our Lord, we were not polytheists. Well, they are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are exposed to Him, and still they swear by His name that we were not idolaters, we were not polytheists. And they were. انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم. Look how they lie against their own souls. Now, there is a soul and there is a different aspect of that soul. That different aspect would forge lie against that soul. انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم وذل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون. And that which they thought has passed away from them, it is lost now. Although it's lost, although even the idols themselves are bearing witness that they were liars, they were not associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they bear witness that they were worshipping them, still they say we were not idolaters. Now, if you look into verses number, compare these with verses number 130, onwards. Verse 130. O assembly of jinn and men. Now this is a collective type of address. Did there not come to you apostles from among you relating to you my communications and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They shall say, he bear witness against ourselves. Qalu shahidna ala anfusina. We bear witness against ourselves. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. And this world's life deceived. Of course, they were deceived by this world. That aspect of the soul which was deceived is now being witnessed against by the true aspect of the soul, which is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَافِرِينَ. And they shall bear witness against their own souls that they were unbelievers. Now, you see, there is a type of discrepancy here. In that verse it says, they conceal the shahada from Allah. انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم. Look how they lie against themselves. In this verse it says, وَشَهِدُوا على أَنفُسِهِمْ. They bear witness against themselves. That they were disgraceful. They were disbelievers. They were kafirun. So, if you look at our human soul, human soul, as it is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is in His hand. And it bears witness, as the heart would bear witness, as the hand would bear witness, as the foot would bear witness. And, of course, there's another aspect to this, which is the forged identity that we have created for ourselves in this world. We have distanced ourselves from that real soul, and we have created a false identity for ourselves, that arrogant identity for ourselves. And that would try to tell lies on the day of judgment. And of course the soul would itself deny it and would bear witness against it. Now, I think this is a very complicated type of issue. However, why there are these different levels of witness? Allah witnesses, the Prophet's witness, the angel's witness, the human soul witness, the part of the body witness. Why is this so? Shouldn't Allah be sufficient in witnessing and in attributing? Now, the point is, what is things beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't the whole world different manifestations of the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates asma, and then from that flows the creation down to the world of Jabarut, and then Malakut, and then more to different levels. This matter is the lowest level of creation. Of course, then we have higher levels of creation. The world of soul, the world of angels, the world of ruh, and then the world of asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is all different levels, different categories, different layers of the same thing. And since the day of judgment is the day of truth, when Allah speaks the truth, it means the angels will speak, the prophets will speak, the soul will speak, the earth will speak, every cell in this world will speak. Because that is the day when the truth is being revealed. And in fact, all these different things, the speaking of the parts of body, soul, angel, are different levels of the witness that Allah would give against us. There are different levels of the same thing, different categories of the same thing in different worlds. You see, when you do something here, that action has different categories, different levels of identity in different worlds, until it goes up to the very world near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You yourself, your soul does not only exist here on this world, it exists in all those different levels of creation until it goes to the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the khazina, that's the treasury of these things, isn't it? وَأَمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عَنْدَنَا خَزَانُ. Now, when Allah wants to speak the truth, then everything will speak with Him, the truth. Allah is glorified, everything will glorify Him. Allah is praised, everything will praise Him. Because there is nothing beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? There's nothing beside him. These are all different levels of manifestation of his asma, which is coming to us. So all of them speak the truth on the Day of Judgment, except that which is done on an evil way, which is distance from his holy of course being, and that is that created forced identity of human beings, which comes out of arrogance, which is nothing, which is just an imagination, a contemplation. And that imagination and contemplation, again on that they would start to speak lies and nonsense and rubbish. And of course nothing on that day is going to accept that, because that is the day of the truth. ذَلَكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ, isn't it? That is the day of the truth. That is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal the truth for everyone. So all these different levels and layers of shahada and witness are actually part of one big shahada, and that's when Allah speaks the truth and bears witness of what has happened on this earth. And then everything, قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has made us to speak, which has made everything to speak on this day. And that is where, of course, the politics end up. And that is what they do not understand. You see, this is very interesting. Now, to analyze why people go to hell, they still do not understand. They still tell to their skin, why are you witnessing? They still do not understand that that is the Yawm al-Haq. That's the day of the truth. That is where Allah has made everything to reveal its own truth. And they still object to the skin, and still the skins which were not rational on this world, in this world, they understand better than them. Because they say, قَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لَمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Why are you speaking against us? And the skin knows this, and they don't know. قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Look how the skin is talking to this person. Allah has made us speak, which has made everything to speak. And He created you in the first place. Do you not remember this? Do you not? It means still they do not believe in that. They do not remember it on that day. And they need some fire to make them to their mind, if they ever come. Okay, inshallah, we'll continue with the rest of the verse next. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.
You have asked three mics for the ladies and three mics for the gents. Anybody wants to start, ladies?
Talking about angels, the angels follow you everywhere you go, and if they do, is there any kind of
guidance? Well, there are some angels who are appointed to us. For every human being, there are angels appointed to them. And yes, wherever we go, they follow us. And these angels, of course, have different duties. Some angels are just to look after us. Some angels are to look after our different needs, for example. Some angels are guards against the angel of death, for example. They are there as long as God wishes us to live. And as soon as the decree comes, they leave the angel of death to seize us. Because it is seizing everything unless there is some sort of prevention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as soon as those angels are taken, then the angel of death would seize us. And there are angels who guide us. And we are told that every human heart has two ears. From one ear the shaitan will whisper, from the other ear the angel will whisper. So yes, there is guidance coming from the angels as well, which is of course the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is there for everyone. And the only thing is that when that ear of the heart goes deaf, then the angel cannot speak anymore. Whatever speaks the heart would not understand. So yes, the angels are with us. Of course, every one of us has its own specific angels. And as you have heard, there is nothing more than angels created in this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. probably with every human being who comes to this world, many, many different angels are created to look after them. And then, of course, after they leave this world, they would come to them. If they are mu'minun, نَحْنَ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, they say, we are your friends, we are going to guide you. Do not worry, even after this world, on the day of judgment. And probably these angels would come to Jannah with us, because then we have the verse that وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَعْضٍ. The angels would enter from every door to them. Probably when inshallah you go to your mansion in Jannah, any door you open, you would see lots of angels coming in, hailing you and saluting you. So these are the things created with us and coming with us, and I think they will be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to human beings for whom they are created, and that's why they always would be with them.
You said that inanimate objects and every part of our body has a soul. Is there a way we can actually reach that conclusion except through pain? And also, you also said that every part of our body understands on the day of judgment that it is the day of truth, except ourselves, and we question our skin to say, why are you bearing witness against me when we haven't understood that it is the day of judgment? But you also said that all these souls that are in these inanimate objects and the parts of our body are elevated on that day of judgment. We too, and the angels too, are elevated. So if this is the case, how do we reconcile these two issues?
Yeah. Well, every living being has a soul. This is something which, of course, we can witness in this world. But the soul, when we say soul, it doesn't mean a rational type of soul that can understand. I mean, a cell has a soul because it lives, and that is what is called the soul of the life, not the soul, the rational soul of human being. And the reason for that is when that soul, when that cell dies, when the soul of life goes out of it, the soul, the cell would die and cannot perform the type of activities and functions which it had previously. Or a plant, for example, it has a soul, and as soon as the plant dies, the soul of life would go out of it. The philosophers have different levels of soul. They say the soul of the plants, the soul of the animals, and the soul of human being. Of course, all these different types of souls are somehow related to life. Life, according to philosophers, is due to the soul. And so that soul could be soul of a plant, could be soul of an animal, could be soul of a cell, and could be soul of a human being. Now, yes, everything is elevated on that day. Unless for human beings there is a cover which shields that true soul, which is as well elevated on that day and would understand things. And this is why actually we are very much warned about what we do and what we worship in this world. Because this is going to be totally lethal, detrimental to our life in the other world. When everything can understand the truth and we cannot. And everything can understand because they are not somehow responsible beings, and they are elevated to rational. Of course, again, they are not responsible, there is no responsibility on the day of judgment, but they are elevated to the level of rational beings. Now, rational beings will be elevated as well, but even if they are very elevated, if there is a cover of ignorance and arrogance on the heart and the soul of the disbelievers, still that would not let them to confess to that truth. That arrogance, you see, Shaitan would have probably witnessed the bare truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his laws in the first place when he was living in the in the Alam al-Qudr, in the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since he went arrogant, he wanted just to deny, just to say, I am something. And this I am something, this and the sins which follow it, you see, all the sins follow when you say, I am someone, I am something, as compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then all the sins would follow. Especially, I mean, if we want to come to our modern world, this individualistic philosophy that everyone is entitled to what they wish and what they want and what they will. And it is these whimsy wishes of individuals which have to be looked after by the government, by the society, and they have to be promoted as long as they do not interfere with wishes and wills of other people. This is what really is created out of a type of arrogance for human beings, that I am something which can will and wish, and my wishes should be materialized, and this would put a cover around the soul, which on that day, as I said, our souls have two aspects on that day. One is the aspect which is elevated, and that would bear witness against us. And one is the aspect which is the arrogant aspect, which does not really want to realize the truth and would swear by the name of Allah and tell lies and all these things. So there is elevation, but of course there is that type of arrogance which has been somehow grown up with us. And that is what takes us to hell, not the human soul, which is the type of being which can realize the truth. And that would bear witness. وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسَهُمْ. They would bear witness against themselves, that part of the soul. So that is what takes us to the hell. And unless it is burnt, it is burnt out, and the soul can become purified out, it cannot come out of the hell and go to the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sisters?
No.
You mentioned that on the day of Yom Kippur, basically, Christ of a human being's body will bear witness on concerning the sins that a human being may have committed. Now, what if in this world a human being, what are the sins that they may commit, and then they ask for forgiveness, and on the day of Yom Kippur, what happens then?
Well, as I said, this is only for those who are on the brink of the hell, and they are not forgiven, and they have not things which would qualify them for forgiveness. Otherwise, anyone forgiven and going towards paradise, as I said, that name of Allah which is Sattar, conceived, that would work. And it doesn't let anyone or anything would know or would speak about what you have done. And of course, as I said, this is a humiliating type of situation for human beings. This type of exposition, وَيَوْمَ يُؤْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. The day they are exposed to their Lord. Of course, not all of us are exposed in this way, because this is very humiliating. And, that concealment would come after repentance or after the forgiveness which Allah would give, even without forgiveness, without repentance.
Is there something to this? Let's pick up Riyad's point. Are you saying that when people die, the soul, only one part of the soul realizes the reality, and like then their own head will die, at that time he realizes this, or God at that time. And of course, it is too late for him to ask for forgiveness. So, but isn't that it's the body that sometimes prevents you from understanding the reality, when you come out of the reality, or body that reality is there, and therefore, that body, I mean that person, we'll call it that, understands the reality once it's dying.
No, the reality they understand. Even these arrogant people, they understand what is the reality. But they think, you see, that the soul has become so crooked, so out of its form and shape, that still they think that they can do away with the truth by the type of crookedness that they had in this world. They probably themselves know that this is of no avail, no avail. But they still continue to do with what they were doing in this world. They continue to ask help from things beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, on that day, everyone knows that there is no one beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, if they are told that, okay, go and call your associates, they will do it on that day, in the hope, or, well, in the vain type of habit that they might have. Now, there's a very interesting verse in the Quran, well, several verses about this. For example, on the day of judgment, at one point, probably this is a type of testing of what is really inside their soul, because they all confess. Like Pharaoh, قَالَ آمَنْتُ بِالَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ. They say, he said, I believe. He said, I believe, but if he returned to this world, again he would do the same thing. Isn't this mentioned about the kuffar? That, for example, when they die, they say, oh God, Lord, please make a return for us to the world, so that we do good things. And Allah says, if they come back, they are liars. If they come back, they do the same things again, because they are so crooked. You want to say something?
On this point, when you talk about Musa, didn't he say when you just said he died, I believe in the Lord of Musa, but did that look forensic? So he didn't actually submit. He was talking about, I believe in your Lord, not our Lord or my Lord.
Yeah, in fact, it doesn't say, I believe in God. He says, well, I believe in the Lord that Musa believed in. Whatever he believed in, he even didn't realize what was that. He could not realize what was that. And of course, he was said, this is not the point that is going to avail. And Allah says about them, if they are brought back to this world, they will do the same thing. Now, there are few points mentioned in the Quran. For example, at one instance on the Day of Judgment, they are said, وَقِيلَ دُؤُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ. They are told, okay, go and call your associates, those who you worship beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't say, no, there is no associate, we now have realized that, we now believe in you, we now see the truth. They go and call them. They think that, well, the world has come back. We can go and worship other things. We can go and do without pleasure. فَدَعَوْهُمْ. They call them. And this is actually a test for them. فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ. Of course, no response will come. وَرَعَوْا الْعَذَابِ. And they would see that the punishment. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهَمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. And all those medias which are between us and God, and we, that is what makes us to think that there are things beside Allah, and that they all would go away. We see the direct relationship of God with His creatures completely. And in some other places, they are asked, where are your associates? أَيْنَ شُرَكَاءُكُمْ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ, that you thought they existed. They don't say that they didn't exist. قَالُوا ذَلُّوا أَنَّا. They say they are lost, we don't see them. You see, they still cannot realize. This is that part of arrogance which has entangled the soul. Of course, the soul itself would bear witness, as it says, شَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They bear witness against them, that they were disgraceful, they were disbelievers. But that type of soul identity that we have created for ourselves. And this is the whole philosophy of purification. We have to purify ourselves from all these things. And if we purify, then of course on that day we are very well off. We are resonant with the truth. And if you are resonant with the truth, you live very easily. You, whatever you see is pleasure, because you are resonant with it. But if you are not, whatever you see is a punishment, is a hardship that you are going to suffer from. Yeah.
Just because you related it to Shaitan or inheritance, but before you said that the angels, because they are 100% rational beings, they obey Allah, so how wasn't Shaitan as well a rational being? Why did he change? If
No, shaitan was a jinn, actually, as we are told in the Quran, not an angel. So he was rational and with desires as well.
Sisters?
Sheikh, I might be digressing a little from today's topic, but you mentioned more than once during the series about this arrogance relating to individualistic attitude of human beings in this earth. I guess one becomes individualistic and arrogant only in relation to material gain. I'm just trying to think, why are human beings arrogant? At the end of the day, it is to gain materially. It is to gain the needs of one's living, the food and the clothes and the shelter. I guess in an ideal society, and I don't know if that ideal society has ever existed in history, and I don't know if it will exist, if the state was responsible for the needs of every individual's material needs, so that those material needs are never falling short of, then I think individuals would really perhaps seek more towards Allah and spend much more time in ibadah, I think. It is a shame that we live in a type of society where we have to worry about food, we have to worry about clothing, we have to worry about our children, we worry about lots of things, means of transport, work, etc.
Well, there are two sides to this, actually. Now, what is the state responsible of about caring for the lawful needs of the people? This is completely new idea, actually. In the old days, the people were responsible for their own needs, and the state was a type of mediator. Of course, if we talk about an ideal type of a state, not an state which usually, the state which usually we have, the cruel, crushing dictatorships which wanted to take everything for themselves. Usually, it were the people who catered for themselves. The business, the type of financial system of the society were in the hand of the people rather than in the hand of the state. Now, of course, the states have more powers. Because we have nation states, we have lots of laws, regulations, all these things that make it very difficult for individuals to have the final say in the overall relationship of social status. However, yes, that's right. In our modern age, the state should be held responsible of all these things. And I don't mean by individual designs of people these basic needs. Now, what has happened in the modern world? They are giving to individual desires a type of prominence over the values which have been passed down to us by religions and by other means. Now, if, for example, the individualistic society is like this, if an individual comes out and say, I had a queer type of feeling about something, which I want to realize, like gays, for example, and it violates lots of values which have been passed down to us from our past generations and by the religion and other things. Now, the individualistic society would say, well, curse to all those values. This is an individual desire, which is not, of course, affecting others. Therefore, we have to materialize and realize it. Well, he has to realize it, we have to support it. And if tomorrow we come with any other types of fancy ideas like these, the individualistic society says that you put individual before all values. It is the individual wish and desire which should be realized, and the values should support it. And that's why we have now this type of society, that values are very much fluid, not solid at all, because every day the values are changing because human desire is changing. Now, is this the type of society that we can accept? Well, certainly, if you have a religion like Islam or even like Christianity or Judaism, it is not acceptable because you have some set of values which are completely and continuously violated by this type of thinking of giving priority to individual desires. Now, you have two type of solutions before you. One is to say that, okay, we discard all these values, these belong to the past, and we just care for the individual desires. The second is, you say, no, we want to stick to some parts of these values, and you have to interpret other parts in a way that they go smoothly with these individual desires, as some people are, especially the Christian world, is now doing in relation to gays and many other issues like abortion and all these things. They somehow accommodate these individual desires inside their set of values, which of course would at the end lead to the annihilation of the complete set of values, because individual desires have no end. Tomorrow we would come up with something which we have never heard and never seen, who knows? And they might violate all these desires. So this is what I mean by individualistic attitude. Not, of course, the lawful, the legible needs of every human being which they are entitled to.
Okay. Can we go to the sisters before I come to the Yes, sir.
Is there this concept of embodiment of these, the deeds that we do on the day of judgment, we'll see them in some sort of form and such? So, what will be their role in the
Well, all these are captured by angels, and they are organized in the form of a book, and it is that book that we see. And that book actually is our personality, because our personality is nothing but what we do and what we believe in. And it's all in that book. In fact, that book has two chapters, probably. What we believe, what we do. And they are exposed to Allah and to us on the day of judgment. And that is what we are. And if you say the embodiment of actions, means that our personality materializes according to those actions. Yes, of course. It's only the actions that we see. It's not the punishment or reward of the action. It's the actions, the actual actions that we see on the Day of Judgment. And this is what is called the embodiment, the tajassum of the actions. And it's true, yes, but not in some form, sort of like, for example, in form of some animal or in form of some other thing. It is somehow the source of some feelings, some attitudes, some qualities in our own personality, which then gives rise to a type of conformity with us, conformity which exists between us and the place that we have to go. So, the body, the actions are embodied in our personality in a way that makes us suitable to live either in the hell or in the paradise.
Do you want to add anything to that? Okay, sisters?
Sheikh, you mentioned that, Allah has given power to Shaitan to whisper into us. This is openly sort of mentioned in the Quran. Now, you mentioned today in one of the answers is that angels also whisper into our ears. Is this like the way the Satan thing has been mentioned openly? Is this also been mentioned somewhere in the Quran that also the angels also whispering to our ears to counteract the Shaitan's whispering?
It is mentioned indirectly in the Quran and directly in Hadith. In many Ahadith we have that, as I said, the heart has two ears. From one ear the Shaitan would whisper and from the other the angels would whisper. And you can deafen each side. You can deafen that side which is towards Shaitan, and then Shaitan could not whisper anymore. Or you can definitely make that ear which is towards the angel, make that deaf. And then you would not hear what the angel would say. In the Quran as well, yes, we have إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels would come down to them. Those who say Allah is our Lord, and they persevere. And of course this is construed as being on the day when a person dies, the angels would come to him and take him. But these are probably the angels which always have been guiding them. And the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, the work, which comes through angels as well. Therefore, when we say Allah guides, it means that He guides through the angels. So, even the verse which says Allah would guide anyone He wishes, means that of course there are angels at work in our heart, which are working on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, I was thinking of this, the verses of Ayat al-Kursi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will take us out from the darkness and put us into light with His guidance. And is this what our cells are, because you know you said that every cell has a soul, the light goes into our cells. So when we take here, from here, this light that guides us in the hereafter, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people of the right hand will have their own light that will guide them. So the people that have not got this light in their self on the day of judgment will not recognize Allah even then, because they have lacked the light from this world, they have not taken it with them in the other world. Could this be why they will not?
When we say that ourselves have soul, we mean the type of soul that lives in the planet, okay, not a type of human soul, a rational soul. I mean, every living, according to philosophers, every living being has a soul. And as the plants, the animals have a soul. Now that we know that the cells are also living beings, probably in the past they didn't know that there are cells and they are living beings. Now that we know that the cells are living beings, independent, self-sustaining. Of course, they are dependent on our life. If we die, they die, because the soul would go out of them as well. But that's the type of soul which we talk about when we talk about the soul in plants, the soul in small insects, for example. This type of soul we are talking about. So, the guidance, the light would probably not come to these type of things in this world, except when we say that, well, everything in this world is somehow glorifying Allah, and therefore they have a kind of understanding, as many mystics say. They say that everything that you see, they have a type of understanding, but you do not realize it. And that type of understanding will realize it on the day of judgment. Of course, it's a very, very lower type of understanding from what we have in this world. And in that world, yeah, things will change. There's a verse in Surah Zumar when it talks about the Day of Judgment. It says, وَأَشْرَقَتَ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورَ رَبَّهَا. The whole earth would become enlightened with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when that light comes, every being can realize, can understand, is guided, probably. It is very difficult to imagine what type of world we are anticipating, we are actually going to enter on the Day of Judgment. The whole idea of everything having rational identities, understanding things, is very difficult for us. Now, there are some people who say at some times, for example, they have a type of vision, seeing everything in this world, for example, saying La ilaha illallah. And I have come across some of these people. For example, say, one morning I went to make wudu, for example, and just for a few seconds I saw this. Everything was saying La ilaha illallah, and I was very much scared by what I saw. Now, this is something which we are not realizing at this moment. And this is going to be somehow enlarged on the Day of Judgment. And that's why everyone would realize it. But certainly that guidance that we are talking about in Surah, in Ayat al-Kursi, is the guidance coming to human soul rather than to those souls which are related to the soul of plants and animals and other things.
Do you
want to
relate something? Last question. Sorry, question. You know, you gave the reference to the last response to the last question about the indirect angels. You know, when you said when Muhammad Reza asked, could you give us just a reference on that? Did you nasilul malaika? What reference was that?
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This is in Surah Ahqaf. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Not in Surah Ahqaf actually. It is probably in Surah Fussilat. I have to find it for you inshallah, if you need it.
Yeah.